Please now turn in your Bibles or follow with me on the screen behind me our scripture reading for this morning, which is found in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 49. So please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 49, or just follow along the screen behind me for this, our reading of God's Word this morning. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Every year, his parents, this would be the parents of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. This is the reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For the first time, a little boy had an overcoat on in which there were pockets. With his father, the boy was walking in a somewhat slippery place during winter. The father said to his child, "My boy, you had better let me take your hand." But the boy's hands were deep in the pockets of his coat, warm, comfortable, and so he kept them there. And he kept them there until he had a rather bad fall on the ice, and then showed that his father's advice was actually good. The tumble brought down his pride, and he said to his father, "I will take your hand." And he reached up and took hold of his father's hand in a somewhat feeble grasp. And so it was that the father's strong hand held the child up when the slippery places came along their walk. Now, as Canadians, we can all relate to this kind of story. And it is from my own personal experience. But think about how a story like this, an illustration, a lesson like this, connects to our walk with Jesus, our walk with God. And when it comes to living out our faith as believers in Jesus Christ, happy is the believer who knows that he is in the mighty hand of the Savior, being led towards his home in glory. Now, every day, God is leading us. Every day, God is leading you. God is leading you. God is leading you. The question becomes, are you following? And are you trusting in his way and obeying his will for your life? And just like that child who had to put his hand in his father's hand, think about what does it take to be led by God. Well, it takes humility, and it takes obedience. It takes an awareness and knowledge of our father's presence in our life. And in this passage I just read, you will recall Jesus' answer to his parents, Mary and Joseph, when they asked him and were astonished to find that he was in the temple. And why had he stayed behind? Why was he there and not with them? And what was Jesus' answer? "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Being the son of God, being the son of the father, meant being sent on the father's mission. And Jesus had come to fulfill God's will. So again, his answer, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" can also mean, "Didn't you know I need to do my father's work?" And in John 6, verse 38, Jesus reveals again, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but do the will of him who sent me. This is so important to know about Jesus. And he did God's will perfectly. And in Matthew 6, verse 10, we see Jesus teaching his disciples and to us how to pray. And in the Lord's Prayer, we pray and we are taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Ultimately, we should be looking for God's will to be done in everything. So this morning, I would like for us to think about knowing and doing God's will. Being led by our Father God into every day, into every week, that his wisdom leads us and that we are following his plan for our lives. Often when it comes to evangelism, and perhaps you've used these words when speaking to someone who doesn't know anything about God or Jesus. And so often it begins this way. You know, God loves you and God has a plan for your life. So when it comes to knowing and doing God's will, another way of understanding that is just seeking out God's plan for me, for you, each and every day. You know, often we ask ourselves as believers each and every week, what is God's will in this situation? Or what does God want me to do in this circumstance? Have you ever had those nights lying in bed, staring up at the ceiling, unable to fall asleep, and you're wondering what to do? God, what do you want me to do? And perhaps you're in that place even right now, seeking God's will for your life. Because every day we are confronted with a vast array of decisions that will have a real effect on our lives and on the lives of those around us. And perhaps this year you've had to make some really big choices. Or maybe you're in that spot right now. In addition, we will have to be in a place, and we are in a place where we sometimes have to provide counsel to others. So just in that, for that reason alone, do we seek to know and understand God's will. So in light of this, we need to know how to discern and follow God's will each and every day. And how can we know that we're doing the right thing and are in God's will? Well, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 makes it really simple. For in this wonderful verse, we are told, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Now, this morning, I would like to think about, again, knowing and doing God's will. And for you to think about this subject as it relates to your life even right now. And on this subject, if we look to God's word, you discover there are at least four categories of people, and there could be even more. And so I want to begin with the first category. And this first category of people fall into this, knowing and doing. So this first group is those who know and do God's will. And the greatest example for this category is, of course, Jesus. And as we just read earlier, Jesus knew God the Father's will and he did it. From his birth to his death to his resurrection, every thought and deed was to do God's will. Yes, that was God in the flesh, and he's the perfect example for doing God's will, but he's the Son of God, perfect in every way. But let's look instead then at a more regular guy like Paul, Paul the Apostle. And we first meet Paul in Acts chapter 8, and we learn when we first are introduced to Paul, he is not a believer, he's not a follower of Jesus, in fact, he is persecuting Christians. And he is seeking to destroy the church. And so this guy must have looked like the Antichrist to the early church just because of his actions and his reputation and his violence towards the church. But on the road to Damascus, God got a hold of his life. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 4. We're starting at verse 3, actually. So as Paul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And so Paul makes his way, blinded, to Damascus, where he waits in a home. And in verses 15 to 16, we learn of a man named Ananias, whom God had set up to go to Paul to pray over him. And this is what the Lord said to Ananias: "Go. This man, Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So here was Saul who became Paul. And on the road to Damascus, he has this incredible supernatural experience, encounter with God. His life is completely changed, now having Jesus in his life as his Savior and Lord. And God has given him now a new purpose for living. And that purpose is laid out in this verse where Jesus said, "I am going to tell you what to do. You're going to be my messenger. And you're going to tell people about me to the ends of the world." And this is what Paul did for the rest of his life. And so as you read through the book of Acts, and as you learn more from the letters, the many letters he writes in the New Testament, you see a man who, despite personal suffering and the hardship that he would face, the adversity that he would face, he committed his life to following God's will as Jesus revealed it to him in Acts 9. But you might be wondering, thinking about Paul's life and how he went on to live it in such commitment and dedication to God's will for his life, you might be wondering for yourself, what steps can I take to daily discover God's will, what he desires of me, so that I can walk obediently in it like Paul did, or like others that we see in Scripture? Now, I'll give you a few suggestions that I pray will help you even today seek to know and do God's will. First, seek to grow in your relationship with the Lord, first and foremost. This is why we are created, as revealed in Scripture, to walk and to have a relationship with Almighty God. Get to know his way of thinking. Get to know God, his divine character, and what pleases him. And we come to know God intimately by spending time with him in prayer, spending time with him reading and studying his word. And God even uses our worship and fellowship with other believers for us to know him better. And so as you come to know God better, you will be able to recognize what he wants you to do and not do in a specific situation. Second of all, seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. The Holy Spirit is God's empowering presence within believers to guide them in his truth. Of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John 14, verse 26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And as Paul later said in Colossians 1, verses 9 to 10, when it comes to walking in the Spirit, when it comes to the importance of being in tune with how the Holy Spirit is leading you each and every day, this is what Paul says: "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." So we need to seek to know God more as we study his word and in prayer. We need to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but we also, thirdly, need to seek counsel from godly believers whom God has placed in your life, who know you and love you. So it is wise to ask mature and spirit-filled believers for their advice and counsel on certain choices in life. Because again, there are many decisions that we have to make, and some have a larger impact than others, such as what career will I pursue, who will I marry, where will I settle. So every choice needs God's wisdom. And it is a sign of strength, not weakness at times, to seek out those whom we see as faithful and godly people to ask for their wisdom. Now, seeking and following God's will instead of our own is imperative to Christians. And those three steps, I pray, will help you in this journey. Now, while there are several ways, and even some that I didn't mention, to help seek and discern God's will, studying the Bible, a life in prayer, and following the Holy Spirit's leading are key every day. Remember, it pleases the Lord when his followers keep his commands and do what pleases him. Now, that's the first category of people, those that know and do God's will, people like Paul. The second category are those that know and have to. So these are the people that know what to do, but they only do it halfway. And one way in which they only do it halfway is by delaying. They don't get around to doing God's will in their life. And sadly, the favorite book of the Bible for many Christians is the book of hesitations, where they know what to do, yet they're not getting around to doing it. And you know that book that says, sit, wait, rest, and then sit some more. Don't get around to obeying what you know is God's will for your life. Still another part in Scripture where we see this applied is in Luke chapter 9, verses 59 to 62. So let me just read to you this passage where Jesus is teaching about the cost of following him. Luke chapter 9, verse 59 to 62. Well, actually, I'll start in verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So in this passage, we learn about the cost of following Jesus. And on one occasion, Jesus said to a man, follow me. And when Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. And you do it right away, without hesitation, without delay. But this man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, one of the greatest challenges for every Christian is to follow Jesus. That is very hard every day. And to pursue his purpose for our lives without looking back? Imagine trying to drive a car on the highway while looking in only the rear view mirror. Don't ever do it. I'm not suggesting you ever try. You'd be challenged to stay in your lane, and you'd be challenged to avoid a collision. And in this passage, Jesus' illustration of plowing a field would have made perfect sense, of course, to his listeners, many of having grown up in agricultural context. And if a farmer did not focus on what is ahead, but was distracted by what was behind or on the side, the periphery, it would be impossible to plow a straight line. And I know that even farmers today would agree that's just as important. The oxen plow would certainly veer off course. The lines would not be straight. And so these two men give us examples of going halfway in their following of Jesus, hesitating, delaying. There were still other things that they wanted to do first. And as believers, following Christ is to be our highest priority. Nothing should stand in the way. And this passage isn't condemning family and the importance of family and other things in our life, but not family, not business, not building projects, not pleasure, not anything should ever come between us and following Jesus. And so sadly, as we learn in this passage, there are many who think that yes, following Jesus is important, but not the most important thing in life. So Jesus lets us know that even something that's a huge blessing in our lives can become a distraction if it becomes more important than pursuing Jesus and his purpose for you and me. The only way to follow God's will is totally without delay, without hesitation. So that's that second category, those that know and only have to. The third category are those that know and do not do God's will. So this third group consists of people that know God's will but deliberately do not do it. Now, when I was thinking about this category, a lot of people in Scripture came to my mind. But one that really stood out was Jonah. The story of Jonah. Jonah is well known for its example his example of knowing what God's will is and simply refusing to be obedient to it. Let me read to you Jonah chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. Verses 1 to 3, excuse me. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So in the first verse, we see God's will revealed. God is revealing his plan for Jonah's life. But in verse 3, we see God's will rejected. Jonah ran from God's will, and he did pay the price for that. And that hasn't changed either, and that will never change. When you disobey God's will pay the price for it. Jonah was thrown overboard, if you know the story, and then he was swallowed by a whale, where he had plenty of time to think and pray and cry out to God. So disobeying God has its consequences. Choosing self-will is really rebellion against God. It is disobedience, which is sin, when we choose our will above God's will for our lives. Solomon said in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And in the New Testament, James 4, verse 17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So if you have drifted away from God lately, or even perhaps in your story, there have been moments where you drifted away from God, not seeking his ways, you will know that because God is a God full of grace and mercy, it is never too late to turn back, to get back on track with him and his will for your life today. If you have disobeyed God's will by living in sin and are doing it now, well, my message to you this morning is to stop and repent of your sin and seek forgiveness from God, a God, our God, who is willing and able to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And with his help, we can change our ways and follow his path. Yes, there are consequences to our disobedience, and we see that in the life of Jonah. And there's consequences to our sinfulness. And you may be or even already living in that. But take heart. God offers his hand to you and to me each and every day. Take his hand. Allow him to lead you. And if you do fall flat because of God's great grace, you can pick yourself up and commit your life to the Lord. Because there will be times where we don't know, is this God's will or not? And we have to make a decision. May the peace of Christ help you take that step of faith. But if there are moments where you know that you didn't make the right decision, well, guess what? God has not forsaken you. You pick yourself back up and you keep trusting in the Lord to do what is right. The fourth category that I'd like to share with you of people are those that do not know and do not do. So who are those people? Well, this last group is the lost, those that have never heard. And sadly, there are some who have never heard the word of God or have heard the gospel, even in Canada, even in Campbellford. And so this is our encouragement, and this is my encouragement to you and to us as a church to continue to reach out to the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that people know that, yes, there is a God who made them, a God that loves them, and a God that has a plan for their lives that they need to know about. Now, not a single one of you and us in this building this morning belong to this category. Why? Because I've just told you. I've just told you. God's word has told you. The fact is, we all know, based on Scripture, that God has a plan for your life. Now, when it comes to honoring God with our lives, knowing his will is a pretty big deal, isn't it? And so we must commit to praying and studying his word, seeking counsel from those around us, following the Holy Spirit's lead. But let's not forget that Jesus' first recorded words are found in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, which I read earlier. His first words were, don't you know, I must be about my Father's business. And so Jesus came to do the will of his Father. Is this your heart's desire today? There are two paths. There are two paths. There's God's will, and there is not God's will. So I encourage you today, with the strength that God provides, seek to walk in his ways. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we thank you for the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit here this morning, helping us, filling us afresh with strength to live for Jesus each and every day. Heavenly Father, I just pray specifically now for anyone here today, anyone listening to this message, who is in need of seeking to know your will for their lives. And we just pray in the powerful name of Jesus, God, that you would make it clear to them your will, your plan. Lead them, Lord, as they humbly surrender to your presence and to your leading in their lives. And we thank you, God, that you are always leading us. Help us to follow you obediently, passionately. Help us to commit our life to your ways as we seek to know you better through the study of your word and through fellowship. God, we thank you again, Lord, for all that you're doing in our community. And we pray for those even right now that need just a special touch of your hand in their lives. Perhaps it's of encouragement or healing. Perhaps it's of wisdom. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would lift them up and that their faith would be strengthened today through your word and through this time of worship. We thank you, God, that we are never alone, that you are always with us. And Lord, so that we just, as we go from this place, we again pray for safe travels home. But Lord, we also pray that we would take this time this morning to renew our commitment to following you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.